Blog Talk Radio.
Politics is the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you.
It'll be nothing. You've got to take control. You can take fire heartbeat. But you can break my soul. We all shall be free.
Well, educated people came a little further thinking. And I didn't do that.
It'll be nothing. You'll never take control. Your new world order will lead to not at all. We all now need
to wake the fuck up, America. Enjoy your lives with fear. Just staring them with terror on your screen. Tell me what to believe. Believe in if it's from panic, hunger, and greed. That's how they feed upon the masses like a fucking disease. The only answer is to rise up, get up off your fucking knees. Step into your inner being like a 33rd degree. I'm planting missile seeds for men to break free of an evil creed. You can't see, cause you ain't believing me. But I'm telling you that television ain't true. Just professionally manufacturing a fallacy, imbalancing it seriously. Tragically, things to fucking change magically and mystically. Rewrite our fucking history. This ain't no bullshit mystery. I'm locked in prison with the key. It's in your mind.
It'll be nothing. You've got to take control. You can take my heartbeat, but you can break my soul. We all shall be free.
And they subsidize illness in America. They have to. There's too much money in
it. It'll be nothing.
Hey, and welcome again to another show. You are now on the Conspiracy Reality. I'm your host, Tony Smith, and thank you guys for listening in. I want to thank everybody for listening in via our Facebook live stream. I want to thank you guys for listening in. I want to thank everybody for listening in via Periscope. Thank you guys for listening in from our Periscope live stream, as well as our YouTube live stream. Thank you guys for listening in at YouTube. I want to also thank everyone for listening in via Ustream and Dailymotion. Thank you guys for listening at all of our locations, as well as Blog Talk Radio, Podbeam, and Pal Talk, Google Plus. Thank you guys. LinkedIn. I want to thank all of you guys for listening everywhere. And today's show is Kill the Clone Before You Take On the Opposition. And why I entitled the show this is because what's happened to the left is we've been hoodwinked for 57 years by the deep state Democrats, because the Democrats are aligned with the deep state, who is under the shadow government. Now, Trump is dismantling the deep state for the shadow government, because the deep state has gotten too big for its britches, and it is trying to rival the shadow government, which is why we have a cold civil war going on right now between the elements of the deep state and the elements of the shadow government. And both governments use the CIA, but the shadow government is more over the monarchs of Europe, the Illuminati, the papacy, you know, all those secret societies, the Freemasons. All of those secret societies are the shadow government, under the shadow government. The deep state runs all of the intelligence organizations and the CFR and the Council on Foreign Relations and all of that. It's a deep web of the deep state. So now it's a civil war between those two factions in control of the U.S. government. Trump is fighting for the deep state, because the two ideologies that are at war is the deep state wants to destroy, bring in the world government by conquest. And on the shadow government side, they want to bring in the world government by consent. That is the fight. So this is what Trump is aligned with, the shadow government. Now, he is also an independent and a nationalist, which is why the deep or the shadow government has not killed him and is actively using him for the consent part, which Trump is also still consolidating the military industrial complex as he is dismantling its covert part of its apparatus. So what I want to do is come way down to the level of the political parties, because the political parties are controlled by the military industrial complex ultimately, which works with the bankers and all of that. It's a web. Now, I want you guys to see the political parties and how that built up the deep state and the shadow government. So I want you to listen to this on who the Democrats were, because everybody runs under the Democrats since the 1960s. And then there's a big myth saying that the Democrats and the Republicans changed their ideologies, and that's why Democrats didn't win in the South anymore. No, that's not the case. Democrats didn't win in the South anymore, just how the Democrats are not winning on the left coast, and they're not winning in the Northeast or the Northwest or Northeast or Midwest anymore. They're not winning anymore. So guess what they got to do? They got to bring in illegal immigrants to get it so that they can vote for them. And this is why you have identity politics and political correctness at an all-time high, because the Democrats are losing power, have been since 2008. They got power in 2006 and been losing it ever since. So this is the situation we're in. So I want to go dial it back just a little as we deal with who the Democrats have always been. And this is why I am with the Green Party, because the Green Party is outside of this web. But let's take a listen to who the Democrats really were, are, and who they will always be. Let's listen.
When you think about racial equality and civil rights, which political party comes to mind? The Republicans or the Democrats? Most people would probably say the Democrats, but this answer is incorrect. Since its founding in 1829, the Democratic Party has fought against every major civil rights initiative and has a long history of discrimination. The Democratic Party defended slavery, started the Civil War, opposed Reconstruction, founded the Ku Klux Klan, imposed segregation, perpetrated lynchings, and fought against the Civil Rights Acts of the 1950s and 1960s. In contrast, the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an anti-slavery party. Its mission was to stop the spread of slavery into the new Western territories with the aim of abolishing it entirely. This effort, however, was dealt a major blow by the Supreme Court in the 1857 case, Dred Scott versus Sandfoot. The court ruled that slaves aren't citizens, they're property. The seven justices who voted in favor of slavery, all Democrats. The two justices who dissented, both Republicans. The slavery question was, of course, ultimately resolved by a bloody civil war. The commander-in-chief during that war was the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, the man who freed the slaves. 6 days after the Confederate Army surrendered, John Wilkes Booth, a Democrat, assassinated President Lincoln. Lincoln's vice president, a Democrat named Andrew Johnson, assumed the presidency. But Johnson adamantly opposed Lincoln's plan to integrate the newly freed slaves into the South's economic and social order. Johnson and the Democratic Party were unified in their opposition to the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, the 14th Amendment, which gave blacks citizenship, 15th Amendment, which gave blacks the vote. All three passed only because of universal Republican support. During the era of Reconstruction, federal troops stationed in the South helped secure rights for the newly freed slaves. Hundreds of black men were elected to Southern state legislatures as Republicans, and 22 black Republicans served in the U.S. Congress by 1900. The Democrats did not elect a black man to Congress until 1935. But after Reconstruction ended, when the federal troops went home, Democrats roared back into power in the South. They quickly reestablished white supremacy across the region with measures like black codes, laws that restricted the ability of blacks to own property and run businesses, and they imposed poll taxes and literacy tests used to subvert black citizens' right to vote. And how was all of this enforced? By terror, much of it instigated by the Ku Klux Klan, founded by a Democrat, Nathan Bedford Forrest. As historian Eric Foner, himself a Democrat, notes, in effect, the Klan was a military force serving the interests of the Democratic Party. President Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, shared many views with the Klan. He resegregated many federal agencies and even screened the first movie ever played at the White House, the racist film The Birth of a Nation, originally entitled The Klansman. A few decades later, the only serious congressional opposition to the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964 came from Democrats. 80% of Republicans in Congress supported the bill, less than 70% of Democrats did. Democratic senators filibustered the bill for 75 days until Republicans mustered the few extra votes needed to break the logjam. And when all of their efforts to enslave blacks, keep them enslaved, and then keep them from voting had failed, the Democrats came up with a new strategy. If black people are going to vote, they might as well vote for Democrats, as President Lyndon Johnson was purported to have said about the Civil Rights Act, I'll have them voting Democrat for 200 years. So now, the Democratic Party prospers on the votes of the very people it has spent much of its history oppressing. Democrats falsely claim that the Republican Party is the villain, when in reality, it's the failed policies of the Democratic Party that have kept blacks down. Massive government welfare has decimated the black family. Opposition to school choice has kept them trapped in failing schools. Politically correct policing has left black neighborhoods defenseless against violent crime. So when you think about racial equality and civil rights, which political party should come to mind? I'm Carol Swain.
Okay. So the Republican Party does come to mind because of the duopoly. And the Republican Party is more grassroots than the Democrat Party is, because the Democrat Party works as a private entity, which is why you have these different factions within the Republican Party. And rather than rebellion, which is what you have in turnover in the Democrat Party, in the Republican Party, you have factions taking over power at different times. So the Republican Party is grassroots, but it's still in the duopoly, which is why everybody should go Green Party, because when she was talking about school choice, if you have universal child care from birth, college, it doesn't matter what school you go to. Then it's put on the states and on the localities to make these schools good, because it is equal all the way around. So if the entire system is bad, then that puts pressure on the states. See what I'm saying? And then when she said massive government welfare, we would need a welfare state if the government took care of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as it is supposed to. Now, let's listen to another one. This is another audio. It's the same lady, the Carol lady. She's a professor at Vanderbilt University. And she did these exposés because she didn't know why the Democrats seemed to be the party of the people, and she dug it up as to why, and this is why.
Once upon a time, every student of history, and that meant pretty much everyone with a high school education, knew this. The Democratic Party was the party of slavery and Jim Crow, and the Republican Party was the party of emancipation and racial integration. Democrats were the Confederacy, and Republicans were the Union. Jim Crow Democrats were dominant in the South, and socially tolerant Republicans were dominant in the North. But then, in the 1960s and 70s, everything supposedly flipped. Suddenly, the Republicans became the racists, and the Democrats became the champions of civil rights. Fabricated by left-leaning academic elites and journalists, the story went like this. Republicans couldn't win a national election by appealing to the better nature of the country. They could only win by appealing to the worst. Attributed to Richard Nixon, the media's all-purpose bad guy, this came to be known as the Southern Strategy. It was very simple. Win elections by winning the South. And to win the South, appeal to racists. So the Republicans, the party of Lincoln, were to now be labeled the party of rednecks. But this story of the two parties switching identities is a myth. In fact, it's three myths wrapped into one false narrative. Let's take a brief look at each myth in turn. Myth number one, in order to be competitive in the South, Republicans started to pander to white racists in the 1960s. Fact, Republicans actually became competitive in the South as early as 1928 when Republican Herbert Hoover won over 47% of the South's popular vote against Democrat Al Smith. In 1952, Republican President Dwight Eisenhower won the Southern states of Tennessee, Florida, and Virginia. And in 1956, he picked up Louisiana, Kentucky, and West Virginia, too. And that was...
And just to stop you there, Dwight D. Eisenhower was the president who warned, a Republican president, who warned the military-industrial complex, which would later control both parties, which is where the duopoly comes from, because there's an oligarchy above the party. So you have an oligarchy above the parties. Then above the oligarchy, you have the deep state. Then above the deep state, you have the shadow government. But then above that, you have the Jesuit order and the papacy. That's the hierarchy. And then there's little under that is the shadow government is the Illuminati, European monarchs, all of that. And then the deep state is the intelligence agencies and all of that kind of stuff, and the corporations. So the lobbyists, all of that run under the deep state. The shadow government is the entity that controls all of that, which are, like I said, the European monarchs and all of that. So that's the situation. Now, the Republicans were the party of the people, but now they're under the control of the military-industrial complex through fear, manipulation, blackmail, and other means of control. The Green Party is outside of that realm of control for now. Because there are people in the Green Party through the Liberty Tree Foundation which are trying to co-opt the Green Party duopoly oligarchy and be the JV team for the Democrats. That's what the game is for the Green Party, which has been working perfectly since 2000. The Green Party hatched because of the Orwellian book, 1984. So, both parties are under the control. I just want you to know that before these neoliberals come start trying to say I'm a Republican, which is what they call me, but I'm not. And I understand when things are hurting the globalist system. These Republicans help and hurt the globalist system. The Democrats, hook, line, and sinker, use identity politics and political correctness to hide their racism and their control mechanisms. They pitch you into little groups like black versus white, black versus brown, brown versus white. They put you in all these versus groups and dumb you down through Operation Mockingbird. This is why the Green News Network is important to support. This is why all of these independent media, Tim Black, Sane Progressive, Furious George, Harsh Reality, all of these, Christian Bish, Deb Della Piana, all of these independent networks need to be supported. But let's continue.
It was after he supported the Supreme Court decision in Brown versus Board of Education that desegregated public schools, and after he sent the 101st Airborne to Little Rock Central High School to enforce integration. Myth number two, Southern Democrats angry with the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which party? Fact. Of the 21 Democratic senators who opposed the Civil Rights Act, just one became a Republican. Continued to be elected as Democrats or were replaced by other Democrats. On average, those 20 seats didn't go Republican another 2.5 decades. Myth number three, since the implementation of the Southern Strategy, the Republicans have dominated the South. Fact, Richard Nixon, the man who is often credited with creating the Southern Strategy, lost the Deep South in 1968. In contrast, Democrat Jimmy Carter nearly swept the region in 1976, 12 years after the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And in 1992, over 28 years later, Democrat Bill Clinton won Georgia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and West Virginia. The truth is, Republicans didn't hold a majority of Southern congressional seats until 1994, 30 years after the Civil Rights Act. As Kevin Williamson of National Review writes, if Southern rednecks ditched the Democrats because of a civil rights law passed in 1964, it is strange that they waited until the late 1980s and early 1990s to do so. They say things move slower in the South, but not that slow. So what really happened? Why does the South now vote overwhelmingly Republican? Because the South itself has changed. Its values have changed. The racism that once defined it doesn't anymore. Its values today are conservative ones, pro-life, pro-gun, and pro-small government. And here's the proof. Southern whites are far more likely to vote for a black conservative like Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina than a white liberal. In short, history has moved on. Like other regions of the country, the South both values not skin color. The myth of the Southern strategy is just the Democrats' excuse for losing the South, and yet another way to smear Republicans with the label racist. Don't buy it.
And that's the truth. That makes way more sense than what the it flipped. Because the Republicans is racist. So you telling me a whole region of the country is racist? That makes way more sense that the Republicans switched, or that the South switched from being racist Democrats to value-oriented conservatives. And that's exactly how the South is, too. Yeah, there are pockets of racism. And they're in Democratic or Democrat areas, brothers and sisters. We've been swindled. We've been hoodwinked. We've been bamboozled. They is very clever. The Democrats are very clever. This is why I'm like, why are you even supporting them? This is why I scream this, brothers and sisters. Now, I want you to listen to this. Now, that was ground level. So the Republicans have always been the lesser of the two evils. We have been lied to by the Democrats and said that they are the lesser of the two evils. But they both are what? Evil. So where do we go? To the Green Party. Now, I want you guys to listen to Kevin Shipp. He's a CIA officer, and he's exposing the shadow government in the deep state. And I just want you guys to listen to a little bit of what he's saying. I'll skip through because this is an hour-long audio. Now, I'll go ahead and I'll find it on YouTube, and I will also broadcast this live via our visual social media so you can actually watch this for yourself. But let's just take a listen to a few areas that he talked about, because I'm going to skip through so that you guys can listen to different points that he makes, because it is an excellent, and we're about running out of time, brothers and sisters. And I'm sorry I can't get to your calls, you know, because I see a few calls in the queue. So just bear with me. I apologize that I can't get to them, but we must get through this, and we're almost out of time. So let's just take a listen to Kevin Shipp.
You're done. I'll answer any questions that I can. I've met some of you personally that I've been talking with online, and some folks from previous speeches, so it's so good to have you here. And we're live streaming to a lot of folks, so welcome to everyone that's watching this tonight. We hope that we'll cause a bang. So I'm going to focus on the shadow government, the unconstitutional power of government secrecy. I call it the tyranny of secrecy. Our government has such a powerful, large matrix system of secrecy that it has literally taken over our elected government in a very complex fashion. They've been doing this for almost 60 years, and they've got it perfected. I always like to start my talk with this because it is so important. The Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. It's not a document of philosophy. It's not a written piece of ideology that's just a nice way for a country to do business or an ideology to follow. The Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. It supersedes the entire criminal justice system that we have underneath it. And that's important to understand, because if someone violates the Constitution, they are breaking the law. It's a felony. Okay? So if the government or any government agency, institution like the Fourth Amendment, for example, breaks the law, that's a felony. That applies to citizens, and it applies to the government also. So if we remember that, we understand that, we're going to want to hold some people in Washington accountable for some of the things that are going on there. I mentioned that the shadow government and the deep state are two different entities, although they are joined together in this vast matrix that we see in Washington, D.C. and beyond. The deep state is the secret government, all of the secret intelligence agencies that are functioning in the dark behind the scenes. That is the binds much of the deep state with secrecy, secret oaths, secrecy agreements, and other things that bind a lot of large contractors and others from saying anything about what they see. The deep state, however, is the system, and you can see I put a dollar sign on system. The deep state is a system behind government. The military-industrial complex, I'll be talking about that. Shadow government is the power of secrecy, fear, and intimidation. That's the shadow government. I know because I was a part of that. I was a counterintelligence officer, interviewer, and that's how it works. The currency of the deep state is money, power, and greed. So they're two different things. They're joined together, which I'll explain, but they're two different things that function with two different systems of control that are manipulating. Let's look at this. I want to show you all the size, the power, and the extent of the shadow government or the secret government. This is the size. Each organization that I'm about to show you up here functions in secrecy and is bound by secret oaths from saying anything about what they see. When I was in there, I was in it during the Iran-Contra scandal and some other things, and you cannot talk about anything that you see, even if it's illegal or unconstitutional, because there's a system to systematically destroy you if you do. So, you remember the Council on Foreign Relations, established in 1921, came largely from the banking elite, the Morgans, the Rothschilds, and others, formed the Council on Foreign Relations. Council on Foreign Relations, eventually, with the same members of the CFR, created the CIA. I think 21 CIA directors have all been members of the Council on Foreign Relations. That is an unconstitutional organization, and it has been since its founding in 1921. I'll get into that. And this is, I'm taking a library of information and research and trying to distill this down and into as short as I can get it. So there's a lot of stuff here, but we'll try to keep it simple. The Council on Foreign Relations in the beginning and the CIA had a direct established contract with the mainstream media. Philip and Catherine Graham of the Washington Post were members of the Council on Foreign Relations and directly connected to the CIA and directly connected to the CIA and CFR's program of pumping information into the news media for propaganda to the American people. And do you think that still continues today? There's no doubt about it. I will prove it later on. Most people will say that. And what they can do, and then it put a friend of mine, John Kiriakou, who exposed the torture program, they put him off for 2 years for a simple mistake. So inside the United States of America, people, not outside, not in a foreign country, bound by the secrecy agreement, I will get into this in some detail. Those of you from Waycross, Georgia, or nearby, we talked about Waycross, I think, in the lecture I gave there. The state secret privilege, the most tyrannical power of the U.S. government, actually was created with the crash in Waycross, Georgia. We'll talk about that later. The CIA and the NSA can shut down any case against it that it does not like using the state secret privilege. Shut it down, seal the evidence, and not even Congress can get access to it ever. Just stop it, just like that. Ironically, the wording of the state secret privilege was derived from England. But they actually took the wording from the very province we were supposed to rebel against and used it to create the state secret privilege to silence Americans from talking about anything that the shadow government does. Now, the military industrial congressional complex, I like to stick that back in there, and you'll see why. It's going to make you mad when you see what this influence this has over congressmen and senators. Here it is. The Congressional Armed Services Committee has 48 senior members, acting senior members, and they vote on the Defense Authorization Act. They just voted the act again. Act increased it. They vote on the Defense Authorization Act, and they decide which of the major military industrial corporations get the money. Lockheed Martin, one of the big dogs on the block. They do surveillance on us for the U.S. government. Lockheed Martin holds the contract to monitor everything that we do with the International Revenue Service. All of your paper correspondence, your telephone calls, and anything you do with the IRS is monitored by Lockheed Martin on the part of the MIC, the military industrial complex. General Dynamics, the big one, bombs, planes, and missiles. That's what these people do. Do you think that their motivation is peace? Or do you think their motivation is war? And let's keep cranking this stuff out because we've got to get more contracts. Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, Boeing. And, of course, this is where Booz Allen Hamilton, Edward Snowden, he came out of them. We'll talk a little bit more about that later with Booz. Booz goes way back. This, in the military-industrial complex, $1 trillion with a T, annual spending for defense-related purposes. And it's like, oh, my gosh, absolutely out of control. Created without congressional approval. Congress had nothing to do with the creation of the CIA. As a matter of fact, goodness, the Department of State, the FBI, much of Congress were completely against the CIA because they were afraid it was going to be another Nazi secret service kind of organization. That's the way they put it. They were afraid it was going to be a national police, secret police, was their fear. Truman did it anyway and later regretted it, but it was created without Congress. Now, who represents the people? Who's the only people we have that represent us? It's Congress, right? Constitutionally, Congress is the constitutional voice of the people who run the government, right? The CIA was created without any of that, outside the Constitution completely. This, its original form, Foggy Bottom down in Washington, was a single building. What Truman wanted, which we should have gotten was an objective intelligence agency that collected intelligence and provided it to the president for policymaking. That essentially is a shadow government operation, and I'll show you why. Whatever your opinion of Donald Trump, the shadow government fears being exposed. That's the thunderstorm that's happening in Washington. That's what's going on. They want him gone, terminated. And they're doing a character assassination right now on him and his kids and his business partners. They just indicted Paul Manafort. Y'all have heard that? You know that Paul Manafort, you know what they indicted him for? Colluding with the Russians on behalf of the Podesta Group, which is a Hillary Clinton, that's her former campaign manager. So he's not indicted for colluding with the Russians for Trump. They just indicted him for colluding with the Russians on behalf of the Podesta Group, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager. Did you hear that anywhere in the mainstream media? It is absolute collusion, but oops, it's on the wrong side. But they're making it look like Manafort has just been indicted because of his connections to Donald Trump. That's not it at all. It's a lie. So,
and you can go watch the whole thing. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Put in Kevin Shipp, CIA officer exposed to shadow government. So you see, Trump's fighting the deep state for the shadow government on an independent level, which is why both factions want them gone, but they are also fighting each other because both of them are being exposed. And where the Green Party fits into this is we have no influence in that. There is nobody to influence, so the people need to get behind the Green Party. And when they're done with their cold civil war, it'll be an army of the people are already in government, which is why you have to support your Green Party members who are running for Congress. There are a lot of them running for Congress this year, an 879% increase from 2 years ago. So that's the show, brothers and sisters. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, the Conspiracy Reality, Episode 7, you have to kill the clone. Who is the clone? The clone is on the lower level, the Democrat Party, because they use real lefty values for their personal gains when the Green Party is the actual real left. So the Republican is a good party to use, but they are in the duopoly. And you cannot make change within the duopoly system, because you see what's happening to Trump, because he is independent yet with them, which is why he is not dead. He's playing both sides of the game like they do, and they don't know how to combat what they've been doing for 57 years. It's that simple. So I hope you enjoyed the show, brothers and sisters. I'm going to go ahead and sign off. We are out of time. Tune in next time for another show. We're going to please donate, please donate, please donate. $5 from 500 people will sustain and grow this network into radio stations and satellites. We want to eventually get a 24-hour live stream broadcast so that whenever you're anywhere, you can pull up the Green News Network and get some information and entertainment within that information as well. So I want to thank you guys for listening in. I hope you enjoyed the show. And until we meet again at the appointed time, see you later, everybody.
To put that again, the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. Educated people take a little critical thinking, and I didn't do that. That doesn't help them. You'll never take control. Your new world order will lead to not at all. We are now. So I wake the fuck up, America. We hit you through your lives with fear. Just staring at your peril on your screen. Tell me what to
rest. Now they feed upon the masses like a fucking disease. The only answer is to rise up, get the fuck to fucking eat. Tap into it in the beam like a 33rd degree. I'm planting mental seed for men to break free of an evil creed. You can't see, cause you ain't believing me. But I'm telling thee that television ain't true. Just professionally manufacturing a fallacy and balancing it silently. Tragically, waiting for things to fucking change magically. Mystically, we've got our fucking history. This ain't a bullshit mystery. I'm not the prison with the key. It's in your mind.
And they subsidize illness in America. They have to. There's too much money in it.